If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9 and just hold your place there, we're going to do something a little different this morning. Well, it's not really different to you guys, it's different to me, but it's a good different. We're going to talk about Lottie Moon this morning and a little bit of history on her so that you can understand why the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is so important. Let's talk a little bit about her life before she was on the mission field. Her name was Charlotte. She went by Lottie. A lot of people called her Lottie. But Charlotte Diggs Moon. She was born to parents Anna Marie Barclay and Edward Harris Moon in Virginia on December 12, 1840 in Albemarle County, Virginia. And Lottie grew up in a Christian home, but she rebelled against Christianity as an adolescent. In 1856, at the age of 16, she committed her life to Christ and was baptized at First Baptist Church, Charlottesville, Virginia. And her parents, I didn't plan on mentioning this, but I did remember it from some of my research. Her parents and grandparents had connections to Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. I believe they bought the property where her house was built from Thomas Jefferson. So just a little interesting history there. And if I remember reading correctly, I believe George Washington had something to do with the construction of their house. So that you see here in the picture. But during this time in history, most girls received little or no education. But that was not the case for the Moon sisters. Their parents wanted their daughters to have the same educational opportunities that their brothers had. The Moon sisters attended the best schools available. Lottie proved to be a brilliant student, particularly in learning and using other languages. Lottie would go on to attend Albemarle Female Institute. It was the female counterpart to the University of Virginia. In 1861, she was one of the first women in the South to receive a master's degree. She stayed close to home during the Civil War, but she eventually taught school in Kentucky, Georgia, and Virginia. Talking about those sisters, let's talk about them for just a moment. Lottie had two sisters who served in foreign missions. Edmonia Harris, she went by Eddie, so you had Lottie and Eddie. Moon, she was one of Lottie's younger sisters. She helped form the Baptist Ladies Missionary Association in Richmond in 1872. Her work there then motivated her to apply to the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Within weeks, Edmonia was appointed to the mission field in Tingchao, China, at the age of 21. Lottie eventually joined her sister there and served alongside her. However, after 4 years of service in China, Edmonia's physical and mental health declined and forced her to return home to the States. She continued to struggle with depression and eventually joined the Catholic Church. But she never found the peace that she was looking for, and in 1908, Edmonia tragically took her own life. The other sister you see here in the center, Orianne, she was an older sister. She went on to become the first female physician in Virginia. She received her medical degree at an all-girls school in Philadelphia in 1857, and then she returned to Virginia shortly thereafter. Along with her pastor-slash-physician uncle, James Turner Barclay, there on the right, Orianne served briefly as a medical missionary with the American Christian Missionary Society, that was part of the Church of Christ, in Jerusalem until 1859. She then returned to the United States, and she served as a surgeon in Confederate hospitals during the Civil War. Her work in medicine and her zeal for evangelism continued until her death on December 26, 1883. Although the Foreign Mission Board had appointed single ladies to the mission field before, since the 1840s, The Moon Sisters are still considered to be pioneers for women serving in missions and on the mission field. Let's talk about Lottie's life on the mission field. Lottie's younger sister, Edmonia Moon, was assigned to Ting Chau, China, in 1872. On July 7th, 1873, Lottie received God's call to be a foreign missionary and was appointed by the Foreign Mission Board to join her sister in Ting Chau. Lottie was 32 years old when she left to serve in China. She would turn down two marriage proposals during this time and leave her job. She left her home, she left her family, all to follow the Lord's will for her life. Her path wasn't typical for an educated woman from a wealthy southern family, but she was deeply burdened for the Chinese people's need for a Savior. Lottie served 39 years as a missionary, mostly in China's Shantung province. If I mispronounce these words, don't hold it against me. She led a girls' school in Ting Chau, and later she transferred to the remote city of Pingtu, where she was the only missionary for some time. She also made trips into China's interior to share the good news with women and girls. Lottie was passionate about people knowing Christ. Her height, though, was something that bothered her all of her life. In fact, she refused to stand for photographs, and she tried to avoid photographs altogether when she could. Although Lottie was just over 4 feet tall, she never hesitated to speak what was on her mind. She boldly proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever she was. Initially, the Chinese people rejected her, but she refused to ever give up. Lottie loved the Chinese people and firmly believed God had called her to this work. People were drawn to Lottie's house by the smell of her fresh-baked cookies. She adopted traditional Chinese dress, she learned their language and their customs, and she lived like one of the Chinese people. She didn't just serve the people of China, she became one of them. The Chinese people eventually grew to respect Lottie and her faithful ministry, and she led many people to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior as a result. The mission was difficult, but Lottie was committed to fulfilling God's call on her life. Lottie once wrote to the Foreign Mission Board, "I hope no missionary will ever be as lonely as I have been." Lottie served 14 years before receiving a regular furlough to come home. When Lottie did return to the United States, her appearances were often dramatic. Dressed in authentic Chinese attire, she delivered moving speeches and stirred up missions interest among many Southern Baptists. While ministering in Pingtu, Lottie distributed gospel tracts and proclaimed the good news about Jesus. Crowds would gather around her to hear her, and she would sometimes stand and raise her voice so gathering crowds could hear. As a result, and you got to remember the time in history when this was, but as a result, some men accused her of preaching. This charge upset Lottie a great deal. Lottie's response was, and this makes me think of my grandma, because this is something she would have said. Lottie's response was, if they didn't like what she was doing, let them send a man to do a better job. At missions meetings, the ladies usually kept silent while the men discussed and decided mission policies and strategies. This did not sit well with Lottie. Lottie not only insisted on attending these meetings, but she spoke up to share her own ideas. Lottie stated that simple justice demands that women should have equal rights with men in missions meetings and in the conduct of their work. Lottie refused to take a furlough and leave Pingtu ministry unless a replacement was sent to fill in during her absence. But a shortage of funds prevented a replacement from being sent. In 1887, Lottie wrote to the Baptist women of Virginia with the idea of a special one-time Christmas offering. The original purpose was to provide funds for Lottie so that she could take her furlough. But after learning that Methodist women planned to observe a week of prayer before Christmas and receive a missions offering, Lottie suggested a similar plan to the Baptist women. She wrote, "Need it be said why the week before Christmas is chosen? Is not the festive season when families and friends exchange gifts in memory of the gift laid on the altar of the world for the redemption of the human race, the most appropriate time to consecrate a portion from abounding riches and scant poverty to send forth the good tidings of great joy into all the earth?" The Women's Missionary Union, established in 1888, a year later, accepted Lottie's challenge and announced a week of prayer and a special Christmas offering for the year 1888. Their original goal was to receive $2,000. And that's what our goal is too. That just occurred to me. It just hit me. You know how sometimes something hits you funny? Well, that just hit me. I hadn't made the connection before now. When all receipts were counted, that first offering, they received a total of $3,315.26. The week of prayer and Christmas offering would go on to become an annual event, an emphasis for the Women's Missionary Union. Lottie was selfless in her service for Jesus Christ. In later years, though, her health began to decline. The Boxer Rebellion also caused additional hardships. It was during this time Lottie fell victim to depression, a mental disorder that appeared to run in her family. Given the economic hardships, Lottie feared there was not enough food for the Chinese girls in her school. Times were difficult, but actual starvation was probably not imminent. Many believe the crisis was greater in Lottie's mind than it was in reality, but in any case, she loved her schoolgirls so much that she refused to eat and gave away her food to help them. Lottie ate so little that she eventually suffered from malnutrition and became very sick. In December of 1912, the Foreign Mission Board sent a nurse by the name of Cynthia Miller to escort Lottie back to the United States so she could receive medical attention. Boarding a ship, they made it as far as Kobe, Japan. In her last moments, it's recorded that she clasped her hands in traditional Chinese greetings, calling out the names of Chinese friends who had been dead for years. In Kobe Harbor, Lottie slipped into a coma, and she died on December 24th, 1912, at the age of 72. As required by law, her body was cremated and her ashes were delivered to the Foreign Mission Board in a small brown package. After a brief memorial service in Richmond, Lottie was buried at her home church near Crewe, Virginia. Her monument remains to this day with the simple inscription at the top, "Faithful unto death." Lottie frequently sent letters back home detailing Chinese culture, missionary life, and the physical and spiritual needs of the Chinese people. In her letters, she discussed China's hunger for truth and the struggle of so few missionaries taking the gospel to the 472 million Chinese of her day. She also challenged Southern Baptists to pray, come to China, or give financially to support others who could come. As mentioned earlier, the Women's Missionary Union had organized in 1888 and collected $3,315 to send workers needed in China. Lottie once wrote to the Foreign Mission Board, "Please say to the missionaries they are coming to a life of hardship, responsibility, and constant self-denial. Disease, despair, and shortage of help was an ongoing threat to Lottie's ministry. But she gave herself completely to God. Her perseverance helped lay the foundation for the modern Chinese church, one of the fastest growing Christian movements in the world." Lottie Moon died at the age of 72, sick and in declining health after decades ministering to the Chinese people she loved so dearly. but her legacy lives on. And today, when offerings are not keeping pace with the number of workers God is calling to the mission field, her call for sacrificial giving rings more and more urgent than ever. As a memorial to Lottie's first Christmas in heaven, the offering of 1913 was the largest to date. Lottie's challenge was accepted in the establishment of an annual offering. In 1918, at the recommendation of Annie Armstrong, who our Easter offering is named after, the Women's Missionary Union, the WMU, named the annual Christmas offering the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering for Foreign Missions. In doing so, honoring the lady who led them to start it. Lottie's life reminds us of the importance of giving to support missionaries who minister to the lost and unreached people groups of the world. In Matthew chapter 9, if you look at verse 35, and I think I've read this passage several times in my time here at Forbush. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved. Much like Lottie was. Lottie was moved by the people God had called her to minister to. Jesus saw several things. It says in verse 35, he was concerned about them understanding doctrine. He was concerned about them hearing the gospel of the kingdom, the good news. He was concerned about their sickness and their disease. But, verse 36, the number one thing he was concerned about was their spiritual condition. He saw what sin had done to them. They were weary and scattered and beaten down and worn out by sin. Like sheep, having no shepherd, they had no purpose, they had no vision in life, they had no hope. And then in verse 37 is when he looked to his disciples. He said, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." That is where you and I come in. God has called each and every one of us to be a part of his mission, of his great commission, to not just reach Yadkin County for the world, but to reach North Carolina for Christ. To reach America for Christ. To reach the world for Christ. He's called each and every one of us to be a part of that. Now that each one of us have different roles. We play different parts in God's plan. But we're all called to be a part of it. And he calls us to be a part of it. In Matthew 28, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus told his disciples in verses 18 through 20, "All power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore," there's that word therefore, because of what he just said, because all authority and power belongs to Jesus. He said, "Go therefore, go in my authority, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." The fact that he goes with us is a part that's often overlooked. That's why we call it a commission. Jesus goes with us in this mission. He doesn't send us out on our own. He goes with us. He calls us to go out into the harvest that is plentiful. You don't have to look very far as you go out our door and see people in our community who are hurting. Their lives have been wrecked and ruined by sin, turned upside down. They need to hear the good news. They need to hear that God loves them, that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for them. He gave His most prized possession, His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to a world that could have cared less. A world that was lost in darkness. A world that was lost and wandering in sin. God looked down through time and He saw me and you. He saw everyone who had ever lived. He knew that we couldn't fix our own sin problem, so He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to fix that problem, to reconcile us as the Prince of Peace, to make peace and reconcile our relationship between us and God the Father. But He calls each and every one of us, those of us who know Jesus Christ, those of us who have received the good news, He calls us to in turn go out and relay the message again and again and again to those who need to hear it. In verse 38, Jesus says, "Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." If any of you have ever farmed, or even put out a simple garden, it's never simple. There's work to be done in that garden. But the beans don't pick themselves. The potatoes don't dig themselves up. The corn doesn't come off the stalk by itself. Yeah, a deer might help it off. Somebody has to go pull those ears of corn off. Somebody has to harvest the crops. And in like manner, Jesus is saying, look, the harvest is ready. The harvest is ripe. There's just nobody to go into the garden and get the harvest. And He says, verse 38, pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He'll send out laborers into the harvest. The 2018 motto for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is every church, every nation. It's more than just a catchy phrase. This is at the core of what we say and what we do as Southern Baptists. We believe every church and every church member has a critical role to play in bringing the gospel to the world. Forbush Baptist Church participation and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is a key part of that. Our gifts transform lives around the world. As we give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, we help to enable International Mission Board missionaries to take the gospel to unreached peoples around the world. I've been outside the country. Many of you probably have as well. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a very different place. We tend to get tunnel vision here in our country. We're spoiled. We're saturated with the gospel in many cases. That's not the case everywhere. We have many unreached people here in our own country. But for the most part, we're spoiled. We've never suffered. We've never been persecuted for our faith. But when you look, for example, the church in China, many are being persecuted. Many are being put to death for their faith and murdered. Many churches have to meet secretly just to be able to meet at all. We take our freedoms for granted. We take our situation for granted. Jessica and I were having a conversation this morning on the way to church. The only thing that is going to change this world for the good, the only thing that is going to change this world for peace, prosperity, is Jesus Christ. There are many other so-called messiahs. There are many other so-called philosophies and different things, humanism, socialism, whatever. But only the gospel of Christ changes hearts and lives and produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit. Every dollar that you give, this is what is so special about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Every single dollar, every single penny that you give makes a difference, because 100% of the funds collected goes to the work of reaching every nation. It goes directly to where it is needed. There's no administrative overhead. There's none of that stuff. It goes straight to the missionaries that need it, to help them. I think we as a church could easily do $2,000. Easily. I have a goal, long-term goal, that I share with some pastor friends of mine who have also set this goal. Years down the road, I hope one day we can say that we give enough to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering to support a missionary for an entire year. That's my heart. I would love for us to be able to do that. But let's start small and work up big. Let's see what God can do. I think the average, I'm not going to quote anything because I don't remember. I know the figure, but I forgot what it is. But I would love for us to get to that point. But let's start with what we have. Let's start with where God's blessed us, and let's pray. Say, God, what would you have me give? What would you have me give to support your commission, the great commission around the world, as people are called and sent out? In your bulletin, you should have received one of these today. The week of prayer for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering starts today. It's December 2nd through the 10th. I would like for you to take this. Each day is numbered. As you open it up this way, you see number one. Day one, that's today. I want to ask you as a church, as a congregation, to commit to pray for the needs that are mentioned here in this prayer guide, and pray for our missionaries around the world. Pray for the people who are going to hear the gospel, that the Lord will work in their hearts and help them come to know how much Jesus loves them. Start today, take these with you, and pray this week. As it says there on the front, your prayers change lives. Prayers move God's hand. And he calls us to be people of prayer. That was Lottie Moon's desire. Lottie Moon desired for there to be a week in the month of December where people would come together and give to support people like her and to pray for missionaries around the world, that their ministries would be effective. And I challenge you to do that this week. Missions truly is at the core of who we are and what we do. If we're not involved in missions, if we're not involved in reaching our communities and the world for Christ, we're not being the New Testament church Jesus has called us to be. Let's get involved. Let's pray. Let's give. And let's go. Let's go. As you go throughout your life, throughout your regular life, throughout the week, pray for opportunities to share the gospel with others. I dare you. There's your dare for today. If you do it, it'll happen. I guarantee it. It'll happen. Put yourself out there and say, Lord, give me opportunities to share the gospel with people around me, my coworkers, my classmates, whatever it may be, my friends, or even your family. Say, Lord, give me the courage and give me opportunities. Lottie Moon was an extraordinary lady. She had a single vision. That was to do God's will for her life and to bring honor and glory to Him. And she wasn't going to let anything stop her. My question is, how many Lottie Moons do we have in the room? Is there anybody else here that has that same attitude? Let's pray. Father, I don't know how you may have spoken this morning, but Father, I know you have spoken. Your word does not return void. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. It moved him to action, and he in turn moved his disciples to take action, to pray, and to get involved in the harvest, to tell people the good news. Father, I pray that we would be moved in our hearts to open our mouths, to open our wallets, to open our hands and pray for the work you're doing around the world and here in our community. Help us to be your hands and feet, to share glad tidings of great joy. As the angels did with the shepherds, may we share that same message in our community and world. However you've spoken to our hearts, help us to respond in obedience and honesty. I pray for that person here that maybe doesn't know you, that maybe today they realize for the first time, you know what, God does love me. And I need to receive his gift of salvation. If you'd like to know more about that, I pray that you would come. Father, give them the courage to step out in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.